love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
What would you do for $1,000? Well, these days, there's a lot you can do for $1,000. You can work remotely. You can learn how to write for AI. You can learn how to code. You can drive for Uber or Lyft. You can rent your apartment or your house for Airbnb. What else could you do? I don't know. You could be a delivery boy for a newspaper. You could be a paper. I don't know if you could be a paper boy or a paper girl. We live in modern times. Girls deliver newspapers, don't they? Well, let's go back. Let's see. Let's go back to
the music died.
No, not the day the music died. Oh, well, you could become an influencer. But you have to be young and good-looking to be an influencer, or old enough and have something to say, which I have nothing to say. I'm not an influencer. I don't influence that many people to do anything. But, oh, I left one out. If you're attractive, you can start an OnlyFans or a Fansly. You can make money that way. There's all sorts of side hustles these days, and you don't have to rely on radio station promotions. But back in the year 2000 and 2001, $1,000 was a lot of money. It was a big deal. In fact, radio stations used to do contests. What would you do for $1,000? And I'm talking specifically about 96 Rock, which is a radio station I worked for from 2000 to 2004, and then from 2005 to 2006. And in 2006, it flipped formats. It became what is known as an active rock station. Project 96.1, or as Larry Wax from The Regular Guys used to say, 96, Project 96, Project 9 Sucks 1. That was what it was, with the Giant Brian show. And by the way, Giant Brian was a nice guy. I don't remember his last name, but he was a nice guy. I had lunch with him one time. We concocted a scheme whereby I was working at 99X, really not doing anything, but working closely with Rob Jenners and a guy named, Seabass, he was there. And Mark Owens. And then nobody else really liked me or wanted me to be a part of the show. I'm not going to say names. But that's okay. It's okay. So Project 96.1 had a morning show, and they wanted to bring me down there. And so I had lunch with Brian. Carruthers was his name. Brian Carruthers. And Chafee, I believe, was his sidekick. And they were bringing somebody else onto the show. And I went and met with them, and we kind of jived. And so the bit was going to be that I go into 99X in the morning, and then around 8 o'clock I leave. I just disappear. And then I show up on air at Project 96.1. Now, that would have been funny, and that would have been a good radio thing. But it would have been terrible for my career, and I'm glad I didn't do it, because I did like most of the people I worked with at 99X. And then a couple months later, well, I've told that story before, The Regular Guys returned, 99X disappeared. That became the signal for The Bert Show and Q100, and the rest is radio history here in Atlanta. But it still would have been a good bit. But anyway, going back to the fall of 2000, I became the promotions director for 96 Rock. And, you know, back then, depending on where you were, you could hire one of the talent to go out to a bar on a Friday or a Saturday night, and people would show up to see that talent and see the radio station. Specifically, I'm talking about Southside Steve. This was really when the regular guys were cooking with gas. I wasn't on the show yet, but boy, they were really dominating in the numbers. About the time they got fired for that stupid backward audio thing, which really all you should have been able to do is apologize, say you're sorry, move on, pay a fine maybe. But A, Clear Channel was cheap. John Hogan was outfoxed by the guy Mel Karmazin from CBS. You know, all these radio owners went up and groveled on their knees to Congress after Janet Jackson's nipple was exposed in halftime of the Super Bowl. Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson destroyed 1,000 careers, yet they're still very wealthy and still continuing to do whatever the shit it is that they do. But the radio people who had just spent most of the 90s consolidating and buying and buying and buying and accruing debt and firing people and firing disc jockeys and taking away all their ability to play music and just play playlists and corporate playlists, everything just became this corporate nightmare. And they just sort of said, fuck you, you're all fired. So anyway, but prior to that, you could still have a lot of fun. So Southside Steve, there was a bar in Sandy Springs. There were a bunch of bars in Sandy Springs just outside of 285. If you go back in time, let's say you're going north and you cross 285 on Roswell Road. You look to your left. There's one of the OG Taco Macs, one of the first bars I ever went to when I moved here in 96 because they had beers from everywhere. And every time you got a new one, they'd write the beer down on your list. And if you got to 100 or something, you got a free mug with your name on it, and they would hang that mug up around the bar. You go up the street a little bit on your left, there was a bar called American Pie. And across the street from that was, I believe, Good Old Days. And then there was another one where it was fun. It was the end of an era, and all those places are gone now. There's taco restaurants and gas stations and live, work, play type of places. Sandy Springs became its own city when was it? I guess 2005 or 6. And then they just said goodbye. They changed the unincorporated Fulton law from 4 a.m. to 2 a.m. So you couldn't drink after 2 a.m., which really hurt the businesses. And American Pie was kind of the anchor of all these fun bars. It was sort of like a Jimmy Buffett type place. They had a lot of fake palm trees and parrots. And it was a huge, sprawling place where bands could play and you could do fun things there. And the waitresses sort of dressed like Hooters, but they had their own thing going, and it was really a party spot. But again, things change. End of an era and all that. But this is prior to Buckhead trying to reimagine itself. So Sandy Springs was still a hot joint, hot spot to go hang out at. So anyway, the salesperson, it was probably partnered with a beer, because when you did bar gigs back then, you partnered with a beer. So Miller Lite or whoever the distributor was, wanted to push more beer. And you would go to this bar, American Pie, or any place. You know, if you'd go down into Midtown or Virginia Highlands and you'd have one of the jocks from 96 Rock there, nobody gave a shit. But you go outside the perimeter, or you go to a Luby's, which was in, I believe, Lawrenceville, or the Double D Tavern, which I don't know what that is now. Those places wanted 96 Rock there. They wanted to see the regular guys. They certainly wanted to see Southside Steve. They wanted to see Tim Rhodes. They wanted to see Ditch, who by the time I started there was out. But those are the guys who were there. This is before we hired a bunch of girls and called them the Bod Squad, and they weren't really an attraction either. They were just there, girls. Anyway, that's another story. I'll talk about the Bod Squad some other time. I'm going back 24 years here, so trying to remember all these things. But American Pie was a fun spot. So you would send a remote tech out there, a station vehicle, maybe put up your balloon if there's room. And you always had like a tech who made a fee, and usually the bar paid that in cash. So at the end of the night, if you were the remote tech for the promotions department, you'd get $150 cash. That's like $75 an hour to set up a balloon and set up all the equipment and make sure that the jock, the DJ, has all of his stuff, his prizes, his tickets, CDs, video games. And occasionally, just to annoy the talent, I would slap some books in there. Hey, man, ain't nobody want books. Y'all always sending me out with books, man. Southside Steve hated it when I put books in the prize pack. So I always put books in the prize pack just to annoy him. Nobody wants a book. So one of the ideas we came up with is, who wants to win $1,000? So every week, I think for a month, maybe two, we would go on a Friday night to American Pie in Sandy Springs, and it was, what would you do for $1,000? You would win $1,000 at the end of the night. And you could show up and do all sorts of different things and try to win a prize here and there. You could say, hey, maybe I can juggle grenades. Well, of course, you wouldn't juggle grenades in there. Maybe I could do this. Maybe I could do that. Well, here's just a sampling of a couple of those things. And by the way, I had to talk to my coworker, English Nick, who is now the middays on the river and has been for a long time. He's also on the Von Hessler Doctrine. Does toodle pip. One of the original doctrinaires, I believe. But back then, Nick was part-time on air at 96 Rock and also one of the head tech people. He would show up and set everything up, and that was our gig. And I was the promotions director, so I had to go to all of these events. And boy, did I have no clue what I was in for. Just a sampling of some of the things people did for $1,000. One of the things, well, these are going to be gross, so gross alert. And I'll get to the main one. Some of the things were like a guy would stand, you know, 10 feet away from his buddy, and his buddy would run up and kick him in the balls as hard as he could. That was one of them. Oh, yeah, I got to go get the chicken out of the oven. Hang on. All right, I'm back. I'm cooking half of a sous vide chicken, and I guess it was partially frozen. So I might have to go back out because I had to do another 10 minutes. In fact, hey, Siri.
Uh-huh?
Set a timer for 9 minutes. All right, you didn't say, all right, bitch. Anyhow, where were we? We're talking about things you would do for $1,000. I don't remember every single thing, but I know that we did it for quite a while, and I know that one of the final appearances that we did there was the most out of this world promotion I'd ever seen in my life. Now, to be fair, I had only been in radio doing promotions full time for less than 6 months and part time since 1996 when I got hired by Z93 to do promotions. Z93, by the way, one of my favorite jobs of all time. Just hanging on banners, but meeting cool people and getting out. And that's how I found out about the city and started exploring the city. But because prior to 96, prior to Z93, I was just working at Fuddruckers at Town Center Mall. And I didn't like it very much. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We're talking about American Pie. And this bar, one night, these are the two. Well, no, there was one more that was really, really gross. And this person won. So a couple went there with their buddy. And their buddy said, well, if my friends go into the bathroom and have sex wearing a condom, I will drink beer out of the condom. Well, that's kind of gross, right? So what they did is the couple went in and had sex. And they brought the condom out of the bathroom. And the guy, somebody had to, you know, just squeeze it out, juice it, if you will, into a beer mug that they filled with beer. And the guy didn't want to do it, of course, because that's disgusting. You know what was in there. But he did it, and he won. I don't know who competed or what the competition was. But the night that I remember the most, because I have photos of this somewhere on a hard drive, I have photos of this. And it was just out of control, out of this world, and bizarre. So there were many people that competed this night. Oh, what? Oh God. I'm going to tell this story. One woman said that she would tongue somebody's, let's see, how can I put this delicately? Chocolate starfish. That was her submission. So all she had to do was lick someone's chocolate starfish. Well, I'll let you determine who made their chocolate starfish available. There is a photo of that as well, but at least it's printed and not digital, so no one can ever see it. But I know who had their starfish licked. And then I know who did the licking. Enough said. Anyhow, so this night, this magical night, the bar is packed. There are, by the way, police there. Just keep that in mind. There are police there. So this guy brings in a bag, and inside of the bag is a dumped out litter box contents. So you get litter, the pee, and the poop, and they're all in this bag, this heavy plastic bag. In his other hand, he has a package of Aunt Jemima maple syrup. And he says, I will shave a reverse mohawk in my head, pour maple syrup all over my body, and then I will dump the cat litter on myself. So he shaves his head, takes his shirt off, standing there in his jeans, pours the maple syrup all over his head, and then dumps the cat litter all over himself. That's his special talent, his unique thing that his unique thing that he tried to do to win $1,000. Okay, good for him, right? So the next contestants are two attractive young ladies. I would say they were in their mid-20s, maybe late-20s. Could have been a little bit younger. I don't know. Oh, by the way, I know the name of the sponsor because I just remembered the beer bottles were Ice House. So it was Ice House beer, one of the finest beers available of all time, right? Delicious, yummy Ice House beer. So these two girls start dancing, and they're dancing with each other, and they're being seductive, and they're drinking beer. And the next thing you know, one of them removes the other one's shirt, and then the other one's shirt comes off, and then the pants come off, and they're in bra and panties, and then they got the whipped cream, and the crowd is encircling them, including the police officers. At least three police officers, all the waitresses, everybody in the bar made a circle around these young ladies. By the way, these young ladies are now completely naked, and they have whipped cream all over each other. And they just, something turned, and they just started going at each other. And they're rolling around on the floor, which, by the way, had yet to be cleaned up. So they're rolling around on cat litter, cat pee, and cat poop, maple syrup, and whatever junk and dirt is already on that floor. I have a great picture of Southside Steve. He's crouched down, and he has the microphone in his hand, and he's got this look on his face like, what have I gotten myself into? We all had that look, by the way. And I can't ever share these pictures because I don't know who these people are. Maybe I could blur them out, but also they're just not, they're sort of graphic. They're interesting, to say the least. It's not like I go and look at them all the time. They're just, you know, they're there. They're on an old hard drive. But I took pictures at everything. I had a digital camera that I took out of the prize closet. By the way, I missed that. Oh my God, everything I wanted was in that prize closet. I got a computer, two computers, the original iPad or pod, motorcycle helmets, electric, you name it, man. Those were the days. I like free shit. I like getting free shit, tickets, you name it. I had the ticket box. We'll maybe do a whole episode on tickets and stuff and all the shit I went to. But anyway, getting back to American Pie, just everybody had that look on their face like, I can't believe this has gotten so out of control. And it got way out of control, including beer bottles used as sex objects. And I don't want to get too graphic on here because, again, this is 24 years ago. So these women are obviously in their 40s now, maybe even their 50s. And I would hate to embarrass them. I don't think they're in their 50s, but they're definitely in their late 40s. So the whole crowd is just encouraging them, and they're paying attention. They're doing what the crowd's telling them to do. It's not very sanitary. And they finish up, and they run to the bathroom and get cleaned up and put their clothes back on, and they come back out. And now it's time for the crowd to decide who will win the $1,000. So there's the other contestants that I don't remember what they did. Obviously, it wasn't remarkable. They weren't remarkable feats. And then you had the guy who poured the cat litter and on top of the maple syrup on his body and his head, that guy. And we did it by applause. And then the girls, the two girls, they're dressed, and they're, of course, everybody thinks they're going to win because they went above and beyond, right? Everybody thinks they're going to win. They don't. They do not come close to winning. In fact, the winner is the guy with the cat litter and all that. So he walks out of there with $1,000. These women are incensed. They are pissed. The one starts yelling. They just run out of there with the whipped cream in their hair and smear it on their face, and they're drunk probably, and they go get in their car and they leave. That might have been the final what would you do for $1,000. And then after that, I don't think we did any more of those. They were sure fun, though. They were fun. It was a different time in radio. It was a different time in society. Obviously, you wouldn't encourage that kind of thing now, but I bet you people would do it if you offered them money. But American Pie shut down in 2007, so it's been gone for a long time now. You know, that area became, you know, Sandy Springs became its own city, and they cleaned themselves up. They got rid of any kind of attraction like that, for sure. And then they got rid of all the adult businesses, except for a couple of things. But, you know, Flashers was up the street. That's gone now. That was a strip club. All the adult bookstores, those are all gone. And probably for the better. Nobody goes into those places anymore, do they? You can order everything online. Everything. You don't even need to go to Flashers. You can just sit at your computer. But when it comes to American Pie, that is an era of bar gig that is gone. I can't imagine a radio station doing a bar gig now and having it turn into something like that. Oh, guess I got to go check on the chicken. Hang on. All right, the chicken's done. Mommy and Gilbert have dinner tonight. Half a chicken, sous vide, baby. Sorry. It is what it is. So the final thing that we ever did at American Pie, and this is shortly before I got let go, the regular guy's show got fired in 2004 because, again, Janet Jackson's tit popped out. You know, the one thing that Americans can't handle is a nipple. 20 years ago, a nipple pops out on national television and the whole world goes insane. And now there's nothing you can't see on television. Dicks. Real fucking. Well, society has changed. You decide if it's for the better or not. But they got fired because a nipple popped out. And so the event that we had scheduled was the regular guy's pregnant bikini pageant, which would have been the third that I was a part of. And they were a lot of fun, those events. Mr. Puniverse, all those things. They were gone. So it was Southside Steve and Tim Rhodes who were the hosts of it. And let's see who was there. Crash Clark was there with an old wife of his, who decided to take off her top constantly. And that was the end of it. There was some debauchery, like a woman put her fist in her mouth. That was a talent. The pregnant bikini pageant, again, that's something you can't do now. Could you imagine in 2024 if you had a pregnant bikini pageant, you'd have to allow a pregnant man in there if they wanted to be. And there's nothing you could do to stop it. Why would you want to? It's progress. In fact, I think that would be a lot more fun. I don't know. So it's really, I've been struggling all weekend. Should I talk to people? Should I get interviews? Nobody wants to talk about that night at American Pie. But if you're listening and you were there in Atlanta, let me know. And I have a lot more tales of radio debauchery. In fact, I was pretty debased back then. I would pretty much do anything, gross people out, which is a carryover from high school, I would say. But I drank an awful lot back then. I don't drink anymore, but I drank a ton back then. I would get drunk at every event and then like an idiot would drive home. If it was close by Sandy Springs, sometimes I would walk. I lived within walking distance of American Pie, but usually I would walk home from football there. For some reason, they tried to be a Steelers bar at American Pie. And so Sundays we would go there and watch Steelers games and all the other football games. And I would just get shit-faced and walk home. They tried to sell Primanti Brothers sandwiches. If you're from Pittsburgh, you know what a Primanti Brothers sandwich is. And these were terrible. They even come close. Let's take two pieces of shitty white bread, put French fries, coleslaw, and whatever you want on the sandwich. It was not a Primanti Brothers sandwich. And, you know, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz would not come into American Pie and kick everyone out so they could pretend to eat a Primanti Brothers sandwich. Which is, I guess, something happened over the weekend. The vice president and her running mate, they went into a bunch of places in Pennsylvania. They went into Sheetz and didn't even get a schmuffin. I hate Sheetz food. I like their coffee. I used to love their coffee. But their food, yeah. That's what you eat when you're in a hurry and there's nothing else. Like, if you don't know how to cook yourself, I'm going to go to Sheetz and get a schmuffin. Okay. Some delicious fresh eggs. Organic. The best quality meats available. Sheetz. Gas station food is like gas station drugs. Sort of good, but not really. So that is the American Pie adventure. And there are other events. Oh, yeah, the pregnant bikini pageant. And there was one other time at American Pie where we were doing a regular guy's gig. And I don't remember what this one was. It may have been a pregnant bikini pageant again, a different one. It probably was, I think, but it was the regular guys. And Macho Man Randy Savage was supposed to show up, and he didn't show up until the very last thing, and I think we were done broadcasting. But, oh, yeah, he showed up. So that's the only time I ever got to meet Macho Man. Macho Man Randy Savage. I think he signed he had some music CD that he signed, and he died shortly after that. All right. Well, so that's the American Pie radio adventure. I have lots of other stories from promotions to talk about, and I have a lot of stories about being on the air to talk about and guests and things. So if you like that part of Trambles, I'm gonna do it as I look at my bottle of Yeah, Come On Bourbon that Steve gave me at Eric Von Hessler's party. Rest in peace, Phil Donahue, who passed away. And don't forget to check out Radio Labyrinth every Saturday on YouTube. Like and subscribe and all that jazz. And if you're listening to this, please comment wherever you can. I guess you can just go to my social media and let me know what you thought, because we don't really have an avenue for this. This is just in the Radio Labyrinth audio feed. So if you haven't subscribed to that, go ahead, please. And thank you to Atlanta Pizza and Euro and Conyers for sponsoring us. And LDI Repro Printing in Athens. All right, guys, I'm going to take off. I will talk to you next week. Until that time, please remember to keep it canon and, what am I going to do here? Let's see. I don't know. I have no clue. I have no clue because I've kind of lost my train of thought. You know what I mean? Has that ever happened to you? Did you ever lose your train of thought? Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Come on now. Let's go. Come on, baby. Where are you? Hello? Hello, music? I don't hear music. All right. Bye-bye, American Pie. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.